हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 34, the Nectar of Devotion. Okay, then footnote from verse 25123, page 68. Vrajanath, Gurudev, are the neophyte devotees described in verse 11247 of the Srimad Bhagavatam qualified for tasting rasa? A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not behave properly towards other devotees or people in general, is called a Prakriti Bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. Right, so he wants to know, is that devotee, is he qualified for tasting rasa? Goswami, if they can progress to the stage of Shuddha Bhakti by the mercy of a pure devotee and become sadhakas, they may become qualified to taste rasa, otherwise they cannot. Sri Bilvamangal Thakur is a shining example of a sadhaka of bhakti. The individual sadhaka is to be judged by his level of devotion. Mm-hmm. Vrajanath, who are the siddha bhaktas? Those devotees who do not experience any of the kleshas, whose activities revolve solely around Sri Krishna, whose association they have realized, and who are always thirsty to drink the pleasure-induced rasa of Krishna prema, are called siddhas. They are of two types: Samprapta Siddha, those who have attained complete perfection, and Nitya Siddha, the eternally perfect souls. Right? So there are those who are eternally perfect. They never become conditioned. And then there are those who have attained that. They've been conditioned and they've come to that. But they're both Siddhas. So once you're on that platform, it doesn't matter. It's just shown that there's a difference, because otherwise, if there's only Nitya Siddha, then we may have the doubt on whether we can become that. So therefore, it shows that there are those who have been here in the material world, they have come to that platform of perfection. Right? So now in that context, if that's the platform of perfection, they're the ones tasting the rasa. Right? So therefore, then a sadhaka then is able to appreciate that. They're able to, like that, come purified to taste rasa, otherwise they cannot. Right? So, in other words, it's recommend you come to the Madhyama platform. Because the problem is how one will taste spiritual rasa if one is absorbed in material rasa. That's the whole point. You know? So, because of that, then there's a problem. So now, Srila Prabhupada is very kind that he and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur have established a program for us to follow. Program of sadhana. So therefore, then, there is a certain amount of time that's spent connected with, you know, the temple activity, the direct activities, you know, that you're sure is going to be there. And so, because of that, during that time, performing those activities, then one will have a taste. But then outside of that, you know, outside of the direct activities, then for the Prakriti Bhakta, there will tend to not necessarily be much of a taste, because it will all be absorbed in their other activities. Does that make sense? So the Madhyama, then he will have the tendency that in the indirect he can see those things, because then it's more on the platform of jnana yoga rather than karma yoga. And so that knowledge, that detachment is there. They can see how the Lord is connected with everything and see different things in connection with the Lord, right? And you're starting with your values, as Krishna mentions in the second canto, that what you value, that's Krishna. And if you don't see it connected to Krishna, that's illusion. So when we say see Krishna in everything, you can say, oh, that's too much. You only have to see Krishna in those areas of your value. You know what I'm saying? And so that's obvious, is that whatever is that background from whatever one's coming, those areas that are the cause of one's being a Prakriti Bhakta, those are your values.
Yes.
Now you see those in connection to Krishna. You don't have to, it's like someone's totally into money. So that value, see money in connection with Krishna. Right? You don't have to see everything else in connection with Krishna because they only see money. You understand? Whatever your value is, that's all you see. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you're with, let's say, you know, one acquaintance or friend like that. And so let's say it's more of a friend, okay? So then you have the aspect of the friend is that there's a variety of views you can see. You know, you can be absorbed in, you know, something going in the family, then talk about your sadhana, talk about your occupation, talk about, you know, your holidays, or you know, so many different things. And within that, there might be some particular hobbies or things like that. You can talk about all of, and then they appreciate, right? Then you may have that person who is, you know, because so those are the variety of areas that then you need to see to connect to Krishna. Right, because that's your purview of the field of action. Yes. And now you have some individuals, you know, in this case we'll call them acquaintances. Yes. Is that they can't see anything outside of their particular perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they're politically minded. Mm-hmm. Anything you do, it will bring politics into it. You're even changing your kid's diaper. They'll somehow or another, that will remind them of something political. Yeah, you're eating lunch, politics. You're sitting at home, politics. You're out on vacation, politics. Doesn't matter what the topic is, what you're doing, it's always politics. You know? Or someone else is a natural food freak, or someone's a vegan. It doesn't matter what you're doing, they have to talk about being a vegan. You understand? Or someone's into, you know, how you say, retribution, and no one, you know, is doing things right, and, you know, we got justice, and we have to make things straight, and all that. So you have that same thing also. Doesn't matter what you do. Management. It's all about management. It's all about the leadership. It's all, you understand? So, therefore, it makes it easy, because there's only one value.
Yes.
So they have to now see that in context of Krishna. By doing that, they'll become purified and come to that Madhyama platform. Does that make sense? So, in one sense, you say it's easy, it's only one thing, but then the problem is it's so deep in everything they are to be able to see. It means all the angles of attachment will be included in that one attachment. So they'll have to deal on that. So it's the same principle. If someone has 5, 6 different areas of value, then all those will kind of represent, you know, that's where they have to see. You know, it's just like, let's say, at work they're very dutiful, but on a vacation they're totally into sense gratification. So they're going to have to work on that sense gratification aspect there, you know, and bring it, you know, as connected with the duty and things like that. But you don't have to work on that there. And so duty, you see that. But now you may see it as duty as to my family, to my country, to my, you know, like this. But it's a matter of, no, it's the duty towards Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, the neophyte can come to that Madhyama platform by identifying what their values are and then trying to see those values in the context of Krishna. That will then, and then seeing that all these values are already contained within bhakti, that brings them to the Madhyama platform. Then you can say, now they're a sadhaka. Why do they say the Madhyamas are sadhakas? And the neophytes, they don't refer to them as sadhakas. Because when we say sadhana bhakti, we mean from Shraddha through asakti. Right? Because then bhava, that's another thing. By sadhana bhakti, you get bhava. By bhava bhakti, you get prema. Right? So why would we make this distinction here? So we're saying that Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, Narta, Nivriti, we're saying that as a neophyte, then Nishta, Ruchi, and Asakti as a Madhyama. Main thing is because of the steadiness. You call someone by something that they're steady at. Someone's regular at something, you'll say that that's what they do. Someone does it now and again. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You don't call them by that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, let's say somebody their lawn out front in their garden, and that generally looks messy. And then sometimes they fix one bush, or they might mow half the lawn, or they might do this or that, or they might plant some flowers, and then they let the weeds go, and like this. Are you going to call them a gardener? But they're out in the garden, they put in time, they, you know, now and again they think about it. Now that person who on a regular basis is out there, the lawn's mowed, the bushes are cut, you know, the flowers are planted, it looks neat and tidy, the dry leaves are picked up, you'll say they're a gardener. Even though the other person has a garden and likes gardens, but he's not a gardener because he doesn't do it regularly. So in this context, then they will be saying the madhyama is a sadhaka because it's regular, nishta bhakti. Well, for the neophyte, it's anishta bhakti. So sometimes it's there, and sometimes it's not. It doesn't mean when it's there, it's not of the same quality. It's just not regular. Right? So they go to the temple, they go to the kirtan, they go to the different things, there's some program happening, and they'll be just as absorbed. But then, the next moment, they won't be. So, even though it's within the sadhana, you don't necessarily call them a sadhaka. You know, this devotee is a sadhaka because it's regular. Everybody, neophyte, muni, is all doing sadhana bhakti. But you wouldn't call them a sadhaka. Does that make sense? Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah.
But Maharaj, it's mean this is a value to have regularity.
Yes, is it? But that value is coming because you see all things are contained within in bhakti. There's nothing outside of bhakti. There's not something in your life that is addressed outside of bhakti. Bhakti takes care of everything. So that's because you see everything connected to Krishna. So all your values are connected to Krishna. Therefore, you apply bhakti in all your activities. That bhakti is including everything. But when you see this is bhakti and this is my practical life, my real life, my day-to-day life, or whatever it is, that means that realization hasn't come. And so that's an anartha there. So in that area, one is not situated in bhakti. Yeah, I do devotional service, but you know, I got to do exercise and this and that. I can't just depend upon all these other things. Or, you know, does that make sense? So that means that they don't say bhakti includes. So why aren't you doing your exercise for Krishna? Right? So therefore, doing it for Krishna, then now it becomes part of that bhakti thing. So bhakti is already including it. Exercise doesn't include bhakti, but bhakti can include exercise. It's how you're looking at it. So they're seeing it separate. So therefore, it's not bhakti. Therefore, it's not steady. Is that... You know, just like, let's say, everybody's cooking. But who do you call a chef?
Someone knows.
He knows, but he's steady in it. He's regular. If there's an opportunity, they cook in that. Well, the regular person who's cooking, there's a good chance that if there's an opportunity not to cook, they're going to take it. Right? Does that make sense? Well, the chef would actually rather cook it himself because it's going to be better. Who's going to cook as good as them? No? You know, unless another chef is cooking, then great. You know. Yes?
If sadhana is regular and steady long time, but mind is not always...
So that's all right. It'll come.
It's a kanishta or it's not?
The point is that if you're regular in your sadhana and all that, and you value... that's why it's defined, is that steadiness comes, what we call, because of that faith... That bhakti is all this, that is the value. When the value is bhakti, and all other conditioned values are contained within that. You understand that whatever's the gain in study, in charity, in varnashram, in performing your duties, you know, in penances, in duty, anything like this, it's all within bhakti. That then situates you in steady devotional service. Does that make sense? So you see someone's regular in their sadhana, but the point is it there in other things? Because if those other things take up more You know, it's just like, let's say someone is, you know, in the morning program, you know, just everything's like clockwork. And on that set, you'd say it's there. But then after, you know, you go for breakfast and all that, then that's when all the politics or this or, you know, everyone's trying to kill you and stuff like that. And, you know, the conspiracy theory, you know, like this, then you wouldn't necessarily call them a sadhaka. Though their sadhana in the morning is really, really good. You understand? So the sadhaka will be someone who's just stable and nice. They're fixed in devotional service. That you would call the sadhaka. That's why it says Bilva Mangal is the you know, perfect example. Is a shining example of a sadhaka of bhakti. You know, it's just he's fixed in that, steady in that, does things like that. You know, and you have to give him that he's a good sadhaka. He's doing it for 700 years. Right, you know. No.
How to understand when we became madhyama? I mean, what type of mind we will have on this?
As we mentioned, that we appreciate that bhakti is the purpose of everything. Nothing has an existence separate from bhakti. Mm-hmm. When that's there, then you can say, now that's steady.
But if, for example, I feel hungry and I will, by influence on hunger, it's normal for...
So you want to know if also then you stop, your feet stop touching the floor and stuff like that, and like that. They say, you know, clothes always fit. You know, yeah. These are the symptoms of serious devotional service.
Those are serious symptoms.
Yeah. You understand? So the point is that hunger is just that the body does. But the point is now when it comes to hunger, now what do you want to do with that? Is it engaged in Krishna service or is it just a separate thing? You know, so then you're going to take some prasad. Point is all activities are found within devotional service. Devotional service is an attitude. So we're taking it that it's the activity itself. No, it's that it's being done for Krishna. Just like we see in Guruvayur temple that, is it Guruvayur? The elephant procession, right? Guruvayur. Yeah. Every evening, I mean, they have five times a day an elephant procession, but they're all small, but the evening one's big. So they go out at 9 and it ends at 12 midnight. So the deity that goes out doesn't go back in the temple because the temple's closed. They have a special place where that deity sleeps for the night. Then in the morning, you know, when they all wake up, then they go back into the temple for the puja. But it's the deity sleeps somewhere else. They have a separate place because they're out, you know, the other deity's gone to bed at 10 and this one's up till 12. You know, out partying, right?
They're impersonalists?
Huh? They're impersonalists. So the point is they're chanting Hare Krishna and all that, but their interest is in liberation, so you won't call them devotees. Even though they're following. So the smartas, they follow the same sadhana we follow, but you won't call them devotees. So if one comes from a background where there is no such thing as regulation, then we take it that these regulations, that this is bhakti. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. And then when one starts to understand it, if it doesn't understand it in the context of bhakti, that can also be a distraction. You know, it's just like we wear the, you know, the dhotis and saris and all that. But it's not that it's devotion to wear that, because, you know, basically anybody following the Vedic culture wears that. So it's not that there. And so then some will say, oh, it's just a Vedic thing. It's not bhakti, so we don't need it. But that's also then, that's niyamagraha. You know, right? One is, this is what makes it, and the other is, no, we don't need this. The point is that this is what's recommended in the Veda. These are the religious processes by which we engage. So when we're engaging our dress in Krishna service, then we use this Vedic standard. Right? There's a principle, and then this is the natural form. You know what I'm saying? Just like I want to boil something, right, in the kitchen. So I get a pot that has high sides, right? I won't use the, you know, that flat pan that I cook the chapatis on. right? Unless you're, you know, just trying to boil one strand of spaghetti, you know? That you could probably do that on a tawa, you know? You can get a little bit of water, you know, you might get in there, you know, 8 millimeters of water and probably one string of spaghetti you could cook, you know? Maybe two.
If we have a small date.
Yeah, very small date. and then you twirl it. Does that make sense? So then you know, one says, no, you have to do that, so it's not bhakti. And the other one says, oh, we don't need that at all because that's just a Vedic thing. And we're not Vedic. We're, you know, whoever we are. So then the difficulty comes up is, no, it's that you're engaging the senses, the body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. So you're engaging the body, mind, and words. There's rules on how to engage the body, the mind, the words. That's called religion. So these are the various aspects of religion and what you do because they have their effect. Does that make sense? Like unsewn cloth, it maintains purity. On the gross, the bodily platform, the sensual platform, the mental, the emotional, the consciousness, it maintains purity. You know, it's not just, oh, it's just a piece of cloth. And if you wear jeans or you wear a dhoti, it's the same thing. No, they're not at all the same. In a sense, there's a difference. Because that's just the laws of nature. So then the devotee, because they value this purity and all that, therefore that's why they wear it. Because it's the best thing to wear in Krishna's service. You can wear anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know. But the point is they prefer that. Just like if you're cooking, you're going to prefer that pot because it's the best thing. Yeah, you could use anything. You could use an old, you know, baked beans tin. You know, you can. Problem is that, you know, if it's a regular size of baked beans, it's hard to get it to sit on the fire because it doesn't have, you know, what do you call it? You know, those little things that come out to hold the pot aren't quite big enough and it kind of sits at an angle. So you could sit there with a pair of pliers on it or something like that and then cook it. Or you could maybe put down that rack that you put the, you know, cakes on after you bake them. You like that, but then the problem is it gets a little hot and like that it might, you know, fall apart. You know, so that's why you just use a pot that has, you know, that's the proper size, that has the high sides. You know, you could boil things in a frying pan, but you don't. You fry things in a frying pan, just like in that pot for boiling. You could fry things in there, but it's not going to be as efficient. So that's why we use it. So in the Vedic culture, what's given, these are the efficient ways to do it. Does that make sense? And so that's how it goes. Does that make sense? So people saying, well, I don't like that. It says, okay, you don't like it, but that doesn't mean that, you know, I don't like frying pans because, you know, when I was a kid, one fell on my toe. So I never use a frying pan. I cook another thing. You can do that. But understand, you won't get the same effect. You can claim, no, I get exactly the same effect. No, you don't. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point is that one has to appreciate what that these things are created by Krishna because they're the best expressions for devotion. So bhakti already includes everything. It means they're eating, they're sleeping, they're, you know, all the things are going on in the spiritual world. And so the forms that are there are the perfect forms to do that. So those are reflected here. We like to see those forms separate from Krishna. So we consider that there's material when it doesn't actually exist. It's an illusion. You understand? It's a potency. The potency exists. But us being in that, saying that this is the material world, no, it's not. It's Krishna's energy. It's his Daivi Maya. So for him, it's just one of his energies. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like saying, you know, let's say in a bigger house, you have the house and then, you know, the backyard, and then out in the backyard, there's a shed. Right? And in that shed, that's all the tools and the lawnmower and this and that, right? So you don't keep those things in the house. But would it be correct to say that it's not part of the house? It's not part of the property or the estate of the owner because it's a shed, it's out in the back, so it's different. So for the person who owns the estate, it's all his. So he doesn't see it that it's different. It's just different functions. The material world has its function. The spiritual world has its function. We're the ones that see that there's a difference. Does that make sense? So the point is that when you see everything in the context of Krishna consciousness, and that Krishna consciousness includes everything, because factually that's where everything's from. When you have a reflection, it's a reflection of the original. So if the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, everything is there about Krishna. So that means you have families here because there's families there. Right? There's husbands and wife here because there's husbands and wife there. Right? They have vehicles here because they have them there. Right? There's trees here, there's trees there. It's not that trees in the spiritual world are upside down or grow out of the wall or something. You understand? They grow in the ground, they grow up. You know, it's just the way it works. You know, birds, when something comes, they fly up. That's just the way it is. It's nice. If they didn't, they flew down, then it would be an annoyance. Right? Storm comes, the birds fly up in the tree. Storm comes, they all fly into your house. You wouldn't like that. Right? So, you know, it has its method. So, the origin is Krishna. So when you have that faith, that bhakti includes everything. Right? And it's just, and that everything simply has to be your values. It doesn't have to be outside of that. Because that's your field of action. You do everything based on your values. So you may have more activities or less activities, but they're based on your values. One value may have so many activities. Like, you like sports. That's a value. You know, it's because of the physical exertion. That may include swimming, it may include running, it may include skiing, it may include so many different things. And while someone else, then, you know, that physical activity only includes, you know, jogging. Mm-hmm. So the point is that one value for one person is one thing. For another person is one or two things. For another person is five or six things. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And so that's there. It's different. But the point is, it's the same value. And then within that, what it is, you know, okay, they're running because, you know, that, you run in the park, but someone else wants to go out and run in the countryside. Does that make sense? You know, like that. Or, that, you know, that kind of physical activity, they want to do it like climbing a mountain. Because you don't get that, you know, that freezing cold wind in your face and the, you know, how you say, and what do you call it, you know, fingers, you know, freezing and, you know, snapping them off. You just don't get that when you're, you know, running around in Central Park or something. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, you stand that the devotee equally looks at friends and enemies, or he equal in their sufferings and their happiness. Is it standard for Madhyama?
That's Uttama. Okay. Means the Madhyama is going for that, so sometimes it works for them, sometimes it's not. But that's how the Uttama sees. That's how you see they're different. So the Uttama see everybody as servants of Krishna, everything connected to Krishna. The Madhyama understands it and therefore values bhakti and tries to connect everything he's doing with bhakti, not thinking that anything's separate. The neophyte will tend to think that they have their life and then they're adding Krishna to that. You know, so everyone's going to start as a neophyte. No one doesn't start as a neophyte. If you're a Nitya Siddha, yes, you don't start there. but if you're a conditioned soul, everyone's going to start at that platform. In fact, the neophyte is an advanced position, right? Because they've gotten past the Gyata Sukriti now to Shraddha. So they have faith. Does that make sense? And then that's taken more serious when they take initiation. Right, because then Krishna recognizes that they're serious about the Bhajana Kriya. Because when Bhajana initiation means Bhajana Kriya, and then from Bhajana Kriya Anishta, it'll come to Nishta. Right, so if I have faith and associate, I'll bring me to Bhajana Kriya. By Bhajana Kriya, that'll bring me to Nishta. By Nishta, I'll get taste attachment. That'll bring us to Bhava. Bhava will bring us to Prema. It's just a natural progression. Does that make sense? Okay. Good.
Dr. Maharaj, actually, in order to go to a Madhyama Adhikari, we need to want it.
Yes.
From outside.
Yes, it's all about desire.
Yes.
Mm. You know, that's that point, is that's the main thing, that the living entity, that's their independence, is their desire.
Yes.
So they want it connected to Krishna or not.
Yes.
So that's the whole point. See, because if we don't emphasize what is this hierarchy, then whatever position we're in, because we have a great opinion of ourselves,
yes,
then we're always the best.
Yes.
Because otherwise, then what happens? If it's about pure bhakti and all that, and that's the thrust of it, then you're going to judge things according to that. You're going to use that as a measurement.
Yes.
But if we don't show that the madhyama is the standard, that's a sadhaka, then the neophyte's going to take it that their position is, because they're more considerate, more sentimental, more worried about everybody, more into these things and all these kind of stuff like that, but from the material platform, not from the spiritual. Because the madhyama can take care of those things without having to be attached. The neophyte does these things because they're attached. Right? The neophyte takes care of the family because of attachment. And suddenly we see it much of the time without training. As soon as that attachment wanes a little bit, then suddenly now they're varnaprast.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You know, they move out, move into the temple, this and that. And then, yeah. Yes. And the rest of the story we don't have to explain. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that there's no sense of duty, there's no sense of these kind of things. So it's not being done by goodness. So being able to function in goodness is being able to passion and ignorance. So the madhyama will be more a prominence of goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Passion and ignorance will be, you know, something's there, because it's not completely, they haven't gotten to the completely, you know, to the Brahma-Bhuta platform.
Mm-hmm.
But it's predominantly goodness. While in the neophyte, it'll be varying degrees.
Yes.
Even if you say that someone is very much in goodness, but they're attached to that goodness.
Yes.
You know, they're attached to being good, and that's why there's that story, you know, that lesson with Yudhishthira Maharsha and on the battlefield when he's told to say Ashwatthama is dead.
Yes.
But he's attached to that, you know, that mode of goodness and that truth and those things like that. You know, for the pastime.
Yes.
You know, like Arjuna's, you know, attached at the beginning of Gita. Yes. So these things are there too, so that we may learn something from it. Because
yes,
the point is ultimately it's Krishna's desire. So that's why it says that afterwards, after that pastime, his chariot touched the ground. Well, before that, his chariot never touched the ground. Right? Everybody else is driving around and all the bumps and going over this and that, and somebody's shield, or, you know, trying to get over a horse or something like that. So they all have problems. He just is smooth riding the whole time. You know? But after this pastime, his chariot touched the ground. Now, some will say it's because he told a lie. Others will say it's because he took morality over bhakti.
Yeah.
Yeah. You understand?
It's high value.
Yeah. So that's the...
But he touched the ground and that's it? And continued?
No, then it ran on the ground after that.
Mm.
It happens. Yeah, but it didn't matter, because then after the battle, then they went back and then set up and got out of the kingdom and all that, and then Krishna left, and then they went, you know, off to the Himalayas. So it's not that, you know, he missed it much. Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So that's why you have to tell these different levels. Otherwise, then we'll just take it that where we are is all right, and this mood is a sentiment, just that he feels like it, then that's enough. But the point is thinking, feeling, then where's the willing? And only if there's willing, then you actually do something. So having a culture based on just what you feel like, then the problem is nothing is accomplished. As long as you feel, that's good. And I feel, so that's it. You become the center of attention. And so you've accomplished what you want. So anything gets done? Not really. Okay. Okay. Vrajana, who are the Samprapta Siddha Bhaktas, right? Who have attained complete perfection? Goswami, Samprapta Siddhi devotees are subdivided into Sadhana Siddhi, those who have attained perfection through Sadhana, and Kripa Siddhi. Those promoted to the stage of perfection by the mercy of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotees. Vrajana, who are the Nitya Siddha devotees? Goswami. The Nitya Siddha devotees have been described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha 21290 as follows. The Nitya Siddha devotees have achieved eternal blissful life exactly on the level of Sri Krishna and are able to attract Sri Krishna by the purity of their transcendental loving service. The most prominent characteristic is that their love for Sri Krishna is millions of times more intense than any affection they may have for themselves. Right? So that means themselves and the extended selves. So the point is, Krishna is the important. Because it's just like you say, oh no, but you know, what about, you know, I have so much for our family. But the amount of affection we have for our family doesn't compare to, you know, a fraction of a portion of a drop of you know, how they're dealing. So therefore, if they just are out of their duties, do things very nicely and all that, they actually are dealing on a better level than the person who's attached. But as we said, peaceful people in passion and ignorance, without attachment, they don't work. So they think that no one will work without attachment. So attachment becomes their standard of measurement. The Padma Purana Uttarakhanda. By the desire of the Supreme Lord, the sons of Sumitra Devi, Sri Lakshmana and Sri Bharata, descended to earth from the spiritual world, accompanied by Sri Ramachandra. Similarly, Sri Shankarshan Balaram descended to earth with Sri Krishna. With the conclusion of the pastimes of Sri Rama upon the earth, all the associates of Sri Rama returned to the supreme spiritual abode with him. Similarly, the Yadavas accompanied Krishna down to the mundane plane, and at the end of Krishna Lila, they went back to Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, with him. Similarly, the Vaishnavas are also not bound by the laws of karma to take birth like ordinary mortals. Right? So the Lord comes, he performs his pastimes, his eternal associates come. Like you see, is after the pastimes in Dwarka, after that the Moshal pastime, then it said the demigods went back to the heavenly planets. But his associates went back to the spiritual world. Because the demigods came down to take part, and then they go back. They're devotees, but they're still... Yeah. So the eternal associates, they just come because the Lord's there.
Regarding the situation with demigods, does it mean that even if Jiva will be in contact with pure devotees and with Sri Krishna himself, the Jiva can still save desire to enjoy in heaven?
Yeah. I mean, that example, we go to the temple every day. There's Krishna, there's the eternal associates, right? The Paramparas there, Vrinda Devi's there, Garuda's there, they're all there, and still we're still worrying if we'll, you know, if we're on the right side of the temple so we can get out quick enough to get the pizza before everybody else gets it. But the pizza is Krishna, so in one sense, then we're absorbed in Krishna, so then you could say it is a transcendental.
Well,
I think it is the only temple in my life where you can have a pizza in bigger temple.
Yeah, during Darshan Arti. I mean, where else? Come on. Yeah, so next time someone's explaining to you how the West and we got so much more facility, do you have this one? No? You know? Even in Italy you won't find this one. So that's what we're saying, it surpassed all other realms. Like that.
And it includes all
other realms. Yeah, and it includes all other realms. Like, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so this is... Okay, so then continuing, bottom of 68, with Srila Jiva Goswami. Some persons have the following worry. Bliss in rasa can be perceived in separation only to the extent that rasa has already been fixed in the person. When karuna, bhayanaka, and bibhatsa, rasas function by themselves, happiness cannot be perceived at all. Thus, for the devotees who are assistants in the Lord's pastimes, bhavya bhaktas, in whom rasa is fixed, grief is always dependent upon the rasa whose very nature is bliss. For instance, at the time of karuna rasa, lamentation, sorrow is experienced because of separation from the Lord. by obstacles to their hope of attaining the Lord. There is a feeling of sorrow and bhayanaka rasa when one is afflicted by fear of obstacles to one's separation to meet him. There is a feeling of sorrow and bibhatsa rasa when one's experience of the most charming Krishna is obstructed by disgusting objects. However, for other devotees, those aspiring for rasa, these rasas of lamentation, fear, and disgust can only be distasteful. So this is the doubt, right? Is that it, you know, that when we bring up these aspects of all these seemingly contrary rasa, as elements of rasa, then we're going to say, how can this be a source of happiness? Because for us here, it's not. Because the point is being that, you know, bliss and rasa can be perceived in separation only to the extent that rasa has already been fixed in the person. So, because they're fixed in rasa, therefore, then, even where it means, we may have the tendency to say that they're not, but even if we do accept, okay, they can do it like that because they are fixed in rasa. And so, because of that, then they can see all these others in that context. But we who don't have that position of rasa for Krishna, we're only going to see the fear and lamentation and these things, and we're not going to see them as favorable. Right? So that's the difficulty we see is that we talk about, you know, we want to get to those highest things and hear about the pastimes, but when you get to those highest things, there's so much talking about separation and all these aspects like this, you know, and then immediately wait a minute. So that's why you see fun pastimes are more appreciated. You know, let's say there's more of a chance that devotees can talk about, let's say, from the, what do you call that? Chamakar Chandrika. You know, the one about how Krishna, there was a box going to be sent to Srimati Radharani with all kinds of goods in it, you know, nice things, ornaments and all that. Mother Jashoda was preparing a box. She, you know, and then Krishna saw it, what's this and that? Don't worry, I'm making you a box also, like that, but this is for Radharani. And so Krishna figures out it's going to be carried there. And so he takes everything out of the box, leaves it with Dhanishta, right? Then gets in the box, closes the lid. Then Abhimanyu comes to pick up the box, right? You know, the box is really heavy, but, you know, he can work with it because it's coming from Mother Jashoda, it's all gifts and all that, and if it's heavy, means it's a lot of value. So, okay, let's do this, you know? So it's so much great trouble he's carrying Krishna, you know, to the house. And then when he comes, he gives it to his mother, you know, like that, you know, this is for Radharani. She asks, what's this? Mother Jashoda sent this for Radharani. You know, and it's filled full of this and that and so many things. Because she must have said she's given nice, you know, ornaments and clothes and that for Radharani to enjoy. And Mother Shoda said, you know, keep these, you know, with yourself. Wear them on yourself, you know, wrap yourself in, you know, just be absorbed because it's you know, from her affection. Yeah. Like that. So then Jatila now being excited that now so much wealth is coming to the family, right? So she calls and then, you know, she has Abhimanyu take it upstairs and put it into Radharani's room. And Radharani's there with all the gopis. And so then, being there, then she comes up and she gives the statement, Mother Jashoda said this. And she wants her to, because it's like that. If you have wealth, people who are into what they like to show it. Yes. While Mother Jashoda is talking about from the relationship, just, I've sent this out of affection, you know, being pleased with all of her, you know, nice services and all that, that she wants her to wear it and be happy. Well, Jatila's thing, you should wear it to show off and see all the wealth we got. We got this from the Queen of Vrindavan, you know, that kind of test. So she's telling all this, you know, and then she, you know, leaves to, you know, let her, you know, because it's hers. So you have to respect the wealth of women. Because if she doesn't, then, you know, no one's going to respect hers, right? You know, so like that. So then they leave, and then Radharani and the gopis think, what's going on here? You know, because we're getting these static symptoms that we only get when Krishna's around. And this is a box of jewels and all that. So while they're discussing this, then the box pops open, out comes Krishna, you know, and Lalita, I knew something was wrong. You know, and then there's this whole fight and this and that, and then, you know, it all works out really nicely and all that. So that story, everyone's going to know, they're going to do dramas in it, it's going to be told, everyone's going to be happy with that. But, you know, let's say other things, it's not necessarily going to be appreciated. Yeah. Does that make sense?